This is the reading for July 8th. Job chapter 39. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the deer gives birth to her fawn? Do you count the months until they give birth and know the right time for them to give birth? They lie down, their young are born, and then the pain of giving birth is over. Their young ones grow big and strong in the wild country. Then they leave their homes and do not return. Who let the wild donkeys go free? Who untied its ropes? I am the one who gave the donkey the desert as its home. I gave it the desert lands as a place to live. The wild donkey laughs at the confusion in the city, and it does not hear the driver's shout. It roams the hills looking for pasture, looking for anything green to eat. Will the wild ox agree to serve you and stay by your feeding box at night? Can you hold it to the plowed row with a harness so it will plow the valleys for you? Will you depend on the wild ox for its great strength and leave your heavy work for it to do? Can you trust the ox to bring in your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich flap happily, but they are not like the feathers of the stork. The ostrich lays its eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand. It does not stop to think that a foot might step on them and crush them. It does not care that some animal might walk on them. The ostrich is cruel to its young, as if they were not even its own. It does not care that its work is for nothing. Because God did not give the ostrich wisdom, God did not give it a share of good sense. But when the ostrich gets up to run, it is so fast that it laughs at the horse and its rider. Job, are you the one who gives the horse its strength or puts a flowing mane on its neck? Do you make the horse jump like a locust? It scares people with its proud snorting. It paws wildly, enjoying its strength, and charges into battle. It laughs at fear and is afraid of nothing. It does not run away from the sword. The bag of arrows rattles against the horse's side, along with the flashing spears and swords. With great excitement, the horse races over the ground, and it cannot stand still when it hears the trumpet. When the trumpet blows, the horse snorts. Aha! It smells the battle from far away. It hears the shouts of commanders and the battle cry. Is it through your wisdom that the hawk flies and spreads its wings toward the south? Are you the one that commands the eagle to fly and build its nest so high? It lives on a high cliff and stays there at night. The rocky peak is its protected place. From there, it looks for its food. Its eyes can see it from far away. Its young eat blood, and where there is something dead, the eagle is there. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Finally, all the work Solomon did for the temple of the Lord was finished. He brought in everything his father David had set apart for the temple, all the silver and gold and other articles, and he put everything in the treasuries of God's temple. Solomon called for the older leaders of Israel, the heads of the tribes, and the leaders of the families, to come to him in Jerusalem. He wanted them to bring the Ark of the Agreement with the Lord from the older part of the city. So all the Israelites came together with the king during the festival in the seventh month. When all the older leaders of Israel arrived, the Levites lifted up the Ark. They carried the Ark of the Agreement, the meeting tent, and the holy utensils in it. The priests and the Levites brought them up. King Solomon and all the Israelites gathered before the Ark of the Agreement and sacrificed so many sheep and bulls, no one could count them. Then the priests put the Ark of the Agreement with the Lord in its place inside the most holy place in the temple under the wings of the golden creatures. The wings of these creatures were spread out over the place for the Ark, covering it and its carrying poles. The carrying poles were so long that anyone standing in the holy place in front of the most holy place could see the ends of the poles, but no one could see them from outside the holy place. The poles are still there today. The only things inside the Ark were two stone tablets that Moses had put in the Ark at Mount Sinai. That was where the Lord made his agreement with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. Then all the priests left the holy place. All the priests from each group had made themselves ready to serve the Lord. All the Levite musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar. They were dressed in white linen and played cymbals, harps, and lyres. With them were 120 priests who blew trumpets. Those who blew the trumpets and those who sang together sounded like one person as they praised and thanked the Lord. They sang as others played their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They praised the Lord with this song, "He is good, His love continues forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. The priests could not continue their work because of the cloud, because the Lord's glory filled the temple of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon said, "The Lord said He would live in the dark cloud. Lord, I have built a wonderful temple for You, a place for You to live forever." While all the Israelites were standing there, King Solomon turned to them and blessed them. Then he said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has done what He promised to my father David." The Lord said, "Since the time I brought my people out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel where a temple will be built for Me. I did not choose a man to lead my people Israel. But now, I have chosen Jerusalem as the place I am to be worshipped, and I have chosen David to lead my people Israel. My father David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'It was good that you wanted to build a temple for Me. But you are not the one to build it. Your son, who comes from your own body, is the one who will build my temple.' Now the Lord has kept His promise. I am the king now in place of David my father. Now I rule Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have put the ark, in which is the agreement the Lord made with the Israelites." Then Solomon stood facing the Lord's altar, and all the Israelites were standing behind him. He spread out his hands. He had made a bronze platform 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 7.5 feet high. And he had placed it in the middle of the outer courtyard. Solomon stood on the platform. Then he kneeled in front of all the people of Israel gathered there, and he spread out his hands toward the sky. He said, "Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven or on earth. You keep Your agreement of love with Your servants who truly follow You. You have kept the promise You made to Your servant David, my father. You spoke it with Your own mouth and finished it with Your hands today. Now, Lord, God of Israel, keep the promise You made to Your servant David, my father. You said, 'If Your sons are careful to obey My teachings as You have obeyed, there will always be someone from Your family ruling Israel.' Now, Lord, God of Israel, please continue to keep that promise You made to Your servant. But God, can You really live here on the earth with people? The sky and the highest place in heaven cannot contain You. Surely this house which I have built cannot contain You. But please listen to my prayer and my request, because I am Your servant. Lord my God, hear this prayer Your servant prays to You. Day and night, please watch over this temple where You have said You would be worshipped. Hear the prayer I pray facing this temple. Hear my prayers and the prayers of Your people Israel when we pray facing this place. Hear from Your home in heaven, and when You hear, forgive us. If someone wrongs another person, he will be brought to the altar in this temple. If he swears an oath that he is not guilty, then here in heaven, judge the case. Punish the guilty, but declare that the innocent person is not guilty. When Your people, the Israelites, sin against You, their enemies will defeat them. But if they come back to You and praise You and pray to You in this temple, then listen from heaven. Forgive the sin of Your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land You gave to them and their ancestors. When they sin against You, You will stop the rain from falling on their land. Then they will pray, facing this place and praising You. They will stop sinning when You make them suffer. When this happens, hear their prayer in heaven and forgive the sins of Your servants, the Israelites. Teach them to do what is right. Then please send rain to this land You have given, particularly to them. At times, the land will get so dry that no food will grow, or a great sickness will spread among the people. Sometimes the crops will be destroyed by locusts or grasshoppers. Your people will be attacked and their cities by their enemies, or will become sick. When any of these things happens, the people will become truly sorry. If Your people spread their hands in prayer toward this temple, then hear their prayers from Your home in heaven. Forgive and treat each person as he should be treated, because You know what is in a person's heart. Only You know what is in people's hearts. Then the people will respect and obey You as long as they live in this land You gave our ancestors. People who are not Israelites, foreigners from other lands, will hear about your greatness and power. They will come from far away to pray at this temple. Then hear from your home in heaven and do whatever they ask. Then people everywhere will know you and respect you, just as your people Israel do. Then everyone will know that I built this temple as a place to worship you. When your people go out to fight their enemies along some road on which you send them, your people will pray to you, facing the city which you have chosen and the temple I have built for you. Then hear in heaven their prayers and do what is right. Everyone sins, so your people will also sin against you. You will become angry with them and will hand them over to their enemies. Their enemies will capture them and take them away to a country far or near. Your people will be sorry for their sins when they are held as prisoners in another country. They will be sorry and pray to you in the land where they are held as prisoners, saying, "We have sinned, we have done wrong and acted wickedly." They will truly turn back to you in the land where they are captives. They will pray, facing this land you gave their ancestors, this city you have chosen, and the temple I have built for you. Then hear their prayers from your home in heaven and do what is right. Forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, look at us. Listen to the prayers we pray in this place. Now rise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. Come with the Ark of the Agreement that shows your strength. Let your priests receive your salvation, Lord God, and may your holy people be happy because of your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your appointed one. Remember your love for your servant David.
Chapter 2.
My brothers and sisters, practice your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ by not favoring one person over another. For example, two men come to your worship service. One man is wearing gold rings and fine clothes. The other man, who is poor, is wearing shabby clothes. Suppose you give special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say to him, "Please have a seat." But you say to the poor man, "Stand over there," or "Sit on the floor at my feet." Aren't you discriminating against people who use a corrupt standard to make judgments? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose poor people in the world to become rich in faith and to receive the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Yet you show no respect to poor people. Don't rich people oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they curse the good name of Jesus, the name that was used to bless you? You are doing right if you obey this law from the highest authority. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you favor one person over another, you're sinning, and this law convicts you of being disobedient. If someone obeys all of God's laws except one, that person is guilty of breaking all of them. After all, the one who said never commit adultery is the same one who said never murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you become a person who disobeys God's laws. Talk and act as people who are going to be judged by laws that bring freedom. No mercy will be shown to those who show no mercy to others. Mercy triumphs over judgment. My brothers and sisters, what good does it do if someone claims to have faith but doesn't do any good things? Can this kind of faith save him? Suppose a believer, whether a man or a woman, needs clothes or food, and one of you tells that person, "God be with you, stay warm, and make sure you eat enough." If you don't provide for that person's physical needs, what good does it do? In the same way, faith by itself is dead if it doesn't cause you to do any good things. Another person might say, "You have faith, but I do good things." Show me your faith apart from the good things you do. I will show you my faith by the good things I do. You believe that there is one God, that's fine. The demons also believe that, and they tremble with fear. You fool! Do you have to be shown that faith which does nothing is useless? Didn't our ancestor Abraham receive God's approval as a result of what he did when he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar? You see that Abraham's faith and what he did worked together. His faith was shown to be genuine by what he did. The scripture passage came true. It says Abraham believed God, and that faith was regarded by God to be his approval of Abraham. So Abraham was called God's friend. You see that a person receives God's approval because of what he does, not only because of what he believes. The same is true of the prostitute Rahab, who welcomed the spies and sent them away on another road. She received God's approval because of what she did. A body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead.